Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Louis St. Jean provides a report of the recent work at the Youth for Christ chapter and explores Psalm 62 with us. And now, here's Louis.
Well, good morning, church. I want to start by expressing my gratitude for this church, for BFA. I'm so thankful for this church body. You've been a long-lasting partner of the Youth Center since the beginning. And since my time there, you have been a partner to me for the last 8 years. And so I'm very grateful for you. We have many of our volunteers and board members come from BFA and a staff member now. So thank you. Thank you for your support, for your prayers, and how much you get involved. I'm really excited and grateful for this opportunity to report this morning on what's been going on at the spot. It's been an amazing year. And I know I say that every time I come, but it's true. The ministry just keeps growing. Youth are being introduced to the gospel message, many, many more over the years. So I'll start by just introducing myself, my family, and then share some exciting news on what we've been up to at the Youth Center. I was also asked to join your series that you're doing through the Psalms, and I'll end my time today just reflecting on Psalm 62. So before I go into my report, I'll just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we reflect on your goodness to us and your faithfulness, your grace that we don't deserve. But Lord, we thank you. You are our rock, our salvation. You're our refuge and our fortress. And Lord, we just pray that this morning and every day we would just have a renewed perspective, a renewed focus, that we'd focus on eternal things rather than earthly things. Lord, I thank you for the ministry at the spot and the many youth that are coming to know you, that we are building relationship with. And Lord, the ones that already do know you, that they're having their faith encouraged and deepened. Lord, I thank you for BFA and this amazing church body made up of people who are faithful, who love you and love other people. And so, Lord, as we just spend time together this morning, Lord, we think of you and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'll just start. I know most of you here, but just in case there's anybody that I haven't met yet, and any chance I get to show my family, I do that. So this is my wife, Aaliyah. We've been married for, we're going to celebrate our 5-year anniversary in August, so excited for that. Brielle and Rosie. So Brielle is turning 4 in October, and Rosie's turning 2 in August. So just in a couple weeks. And anybody involved in any kind of ministry, whether it's full time or serving in different places, it's extremely important to have your family part of that ministry. And in my case, that's been the fuel that I need, and having a wife who is extremely supportive and is involved in the ministry. We had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to go to BC. So the national team puts on a national conference every 2 years, and so our local board and our partners sent my wife and I and the kids down there. So it was great to just have her part of that and have the rest of the family part of that. All right, so what do we do? I'll be talking about the ministry, YFC, Youth for Christ, Youth Unlimited, and in Timmins we're called The Spot, which is our local youth center. I'll touch on the organization as a whole, nationally, internationally, and then focusing on what we're doing specifically here. But why do we exist? What is our vision? What is our desire? Our desire and why we do what we do is to see every young person living fully in Christ. That is the vision. That is what keeps us going. That's the desire, is to see every young person living fully in Christ. And how do we do that? What is the mission? How do we try to accomplish that? while we engage and we equip youth to know and follow Jesus. The engaging part is all the stuff that we do to just build a relationship, keep them there, have a safe place to gather, activities, icebreakers, snacks, all these things that are engaging. And the equipping part is introducing the gospel to them, building relationship with them and walking parallel with them so that they can see Christ's character through us, through the way we interact with them, through the way we interact with each other. And then offer discipleship and mentorship, plugging them into churches and Christian youth groups. So that is what we do to accomplish our vision. And then how do we succeed as an organization nationally, internationally, and here in Timmins? We're saturated in prayer. And I am so grateful for Joe Simprich. He's our prayer coordinator, long time board member and volunteer. And he keeps our focus at the right place. Without prayer, we're just another organization. We're just another drop-in center. But being saturated in prayer keeps our focus at the right place. And there's power in prayer as well. So we equip staff and volunteers, and we do believe that every volunteer, every staff should be called to that mission, not just there to just show up or have something to do or get volunteer hours, but that they are called to be there to spend time with youth and to introduce them to Christ. We do contextualized youth programming, and so that's sort of a national term. Every chapter operates differently. And we have autonomy to focus on our own communities and see what we're going to do. So it's not a top-down organization. It's an affiliation. And so every chapter can decide, based on their context, what type of ministry they're going to do. And that's an amazing part of the organization. And then partnerships. As you know, I'm supported by partners. The center's supported by partners. Every other staff member. And that's extremely important to us. It's a different model. It's the missionary-based model, but there's so much fulfillment in that, and you build really strong relationships with people, and you know that when they give, they're not just sending a check. They're really part of what we do. They're part of the ministry, and many of you are supporters and partners, and I really, really thank you for that. So I'll just give a report on what's been going on the last little while. So it's been an amazing year. Last year was an amazing year. The year before that was. But we just see as time goes on, the ministry just continue to build and more youth are being reached and more youth are coming to know the Lord, or at least are adopting some kind of understanding of the gospel. And so that's been extremely encouraging. So just some stats for you as a partner church. In-person direct ministry. So these are youth that are on our attendance list since September of last year. So since September of 2025, 241 youth have been registered into our programs. Unique youth contacted. So this is the amount of unique youth that we have contacted, not necessarily registered in our programs, but when we do school visits or rallies or these types of things. So over 400 youth that we have been in contact with this year. Invited to become a follower or go deeper in their relationship with Christ. So these are the ones that show up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays, where we're more intentional in spot talks and being able to introduce the gospel through an actual message. So that's over 200 youth have heard the gospel clearly this year and have been invited. Professions of faith. Over 30 youth this year have made a profession of faith in Christ. Most of that number is from our Christmas banquet, which is our biggest outreach of the year. We have our Christmas banquet where we invite youth from different municipalities. And we had a speaker from Erica Falls, and then I followed up with a message on peace and how, you know, Jesus came to give life abundantly. And as a response to that, over 20 youth raised their hands to accept Christ. So we see the fruit of what we do. It's amazing. Over 3,000 interactions this year with young people. Unique ministry program. So we went from two, which was our junior program and our Friday night program that have been going on for the last 8 years. And we expanded to having eight unique ministry programs. We have six staff. So from one last year to six now, and about 22 volunteers that are regular. So that means that they come at least once a month. And then international partnerships. I had the opportunity to, I was sent to Dominican Republic in March, and that was very encouraging, and I really appreciated that privilege. and I got to meet the national directors from Dominican Republic. It's a couple, and they do amazing work. They're the only staff, two people in charge of a whole country. And they just gather volunteers. They're doing amazing work with the youth there. That is not just financial. We really want that to be a relationship where we can send a team of youth down, do some work, help them out, and then they can come to us and we can learn from them, right? So really being able to establish a partnering relationship with them. So we're looking forward to that. So the next slide. Oh, there you go. Sorry. What? Oh, that's you. Sorry, Steve. Okay. Oh, okay. Perfect. There you go. So just to give an explanation on our unique programs and what we do on a weekly basis or a yearly basis. And so we have a music program now that is run on Mondays. And Chris Aiken has done an amazing job leading that. And he's just so patient with the youth. But also, he's a great teacher. And they learn quickly. And so we've been able to teach piano, drums, guitar, a little bit of bass, and then the bass class turned into more of a band intermediate class. And so that's been a great, great outreach. And a lot of the youth, they learned, and they really developed in their skill, and it was great to see. So that's a need that we've been able to meet in the community. Tuesday night is our grade 5 and 6 program. So that's a structured program where it's pretty well the same every week. We let all the kids in, and then we have icebreakers, games, spot talk, a snack, and it's sort of structured the same way, and it's always at the spot. And then we have Wednesday night, which is the grade 7 and 8. So this time last year, that was a program that was actually together. So we had grade 5 to grade 8 on Tuesdays, but that was overgrown. And so we'd have, 50 kids in the building, and the building it's big, but it's not that big to have that many youth in there. So we separated the program, and that's been going really well. So Tuesdays for the grade 5 and 6, Wednesday for the grade 7 and 8. We've also introduced an after-school program, which is sort of support with homework or just life skills. And for some, it's actually just a safe place to come and hang out after school before they go home, and that's okay too. And then darts, that's another program that we were able to introduce this year. Our Friday night program is for high school ages. And then last year we started day programs through the summer, and we're doing that again this year. On the bottom right, you can see Jim there. He came to build picnic tables with the youth, and we had a blast doing that. Thank you so much, Jim. And then yearly trips. So we go to Toronto once a year for the Change Conference. We do Kapuskasing, Cochrane, different rallies, different things that are going around the community where youth that have never been in a church can have that opportunity. And maybe they're not going to show up on a Sunday morning, but something where they're with other youth and having games and all that stuff, but still are able to see how Christians interact. What is this whole church thing? What's people singing on stage? What's someone preaching? They're able to experience that, and many of them have never. And so it's a great opportunity for us. And so just a broader scope of the national organization. So I hope you're encouraged with what's going on in Timmins. It's been absolutely amazing. And we are part of an amazing organization. So it's national, also international. And so in Canada, there's 36 chapters serving in 398 communities. And so there are chapters that are much bigger and have satellites all over. And so if the satellites were included on this map, you'd see a lot more red. And so YFC is very, very prominent throughout the country. And they're actually starting to explore the north, which we know there's a huge need in the north. And these are the different communities that are up on the screen where YFC is starting to get established and doing outreach. So this is from January 2025 to December, so the 2025 report. So 74,000 youth were contacted through YFC in Canada. La virgule, I'm not sure how to say that. The comma is not at the right place, I'm sorry. But 11,000 core ministry programs, 36 chapters, almost 900 staff, and 3,700 volunteers. And so we are part of a big family in Canada, and it's amazing to see the impact that YFC is having across the country. Some key metrics, we can see that throughout throughout the national organization. The youth contacted has continued to climb. But the second one is very exciting. These are decisions to follow Christ. And so in 2021, 1,100 decisions. In 2025, almost 4,000 decisions to follow Christ, youth across Canada. And so I hope you're encouraged by that report. Again, thank you so much for your partnership as a church, for how much you have been involved in the last 20 years, really. But since I've been there, I've been so encouraged by you. With Psalm 62, I'll read through it and then we'll just reflect on it a little bit. If you can turn there. Psalm 62. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion. Or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is a great text. It was actually really difficult to pick a psalm. It just so happened that when I was asked, this is one that I was going through and just really felt that there's a lot that we can talk about. We can pull a few themes from this text. We can focus on salvation, belonging to God, God being our rock and our refuge and our fortress. We could talk about God being our hope. We could talk about not being satisfied and fulfilled by or having vain hope in earthly things, or that in the face of persecution and trials, we can hold on to God's promises. We talk about David's unwavering faith amidst betrayal and slander. But what strikes me with reading this psalm and many other psalms and the rest of David's writings and studying the life of David is his perspective, which is filtered through his faith. For me, it's not about the victories in battle, you know, the famous defeating Goliath or becoming king. It's his perspective in the midst of those victories, in the midst of his fall and trials, even in the midst of his sin. We obviously know David wasn't perfect. But we can look at these themes from Psalm 62 and sort of sum them up by saying, David had a kingdom perspective. The North American church has an ongoing temptation to lose perspective. Because we live in comfort. We live busy lives that are often filled with mundane or unimportant activities. And we really stress over things that are temporary. And we chase temporary comfort. David viewed life through the lens of faith. David experienced incredible victories and devastating failures. He experienced successes, betrayal, a lot of abundance, and also running for his life. Yet through every season, He could say, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. Throughout his story, he doesn't say, I'll have peace when Saul stops chasing me. He doesn't say, I'll rest once I become king. Or in the context of this text, I'll have hope and peace once people close to me stop publicly slandering me and trying to dethrone me. He says in verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. His confidence wasn't built on, you know, changing the situation or changing the circumstance, even though maybe he hoped that it would. It was built on an unchanging God. That's kingdom perspective. And faith doesn't deny reality. David wasn't pretending life was easy, a lot of fear, a lot of anger. But you'll also find the bigger picture. And he'll often have B-U-T, right? A but. I'm surrounded by enemies. You know, you read all this emotion and but the Lord is my fortress. But the Lord is my salvation. David commanding his soul, right, to be anchored, reminding himself that God's promises are more permanent than today's problems and that eternity matters way more than temporary comfort. I believe one of the greatest threats facing the North American church isn't persecution. And I love that that BFA you focus on the persecuted church every week. I believe it's every week. Even though, you know, some things in Canada are unfolding and it's a bit uncertain when it comes to being persecuted, I don't think that's the biggest threat. I think it's comfort. And I think on the flip side of comfort is the incredible stress that we take on and distraction over temporary things, temporary comfort. We live with conveniences and opportunities that much of the world has never known. Life isn't easy by any means. And some of those things aren't necessarily wrong. It's not wrong to have a nice home or a nice car or a vacation from time to time or financial security. These are perhaps gifts or privileges. The danger comes when those temporary things become ultimate things. Comfort and the stress to chase comfort can slowly shift our focus from God's kingdom to building our own kingdom. Throughout Israel's history, many kings started well. God blessed them, but prosperity led them to trust themselves instead of God. They lost perspective. 70% of the Old Testament leaders did not finish well. That's a pretty high number. And the same danger exists for us today. Sometimes the global church helps us restore that perspective, focusing on Christians around the world and what they're going through. Believers losing their jobs, their homes, their freedoms, and even their lives for following Jesus. And their stories and their faith reminds us that following Christ has never been about comfort. It's about faithfulness. Paul writes in Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Our perspective doesn't stay fixed on eternity automatically. It's something that we have to work at doing. And God knows that because He created us. Every day we have to renew our minds, right, as Paul tells us, through spiritual disciplines, through prayer, through getting in the Word, through fellowship, through mentorship, through church, through this, what we're doing right now. At the center, if our minds weren't set on eternal things, we'd just be running a program. We would just be a youth center. We'd have so many missed opportunities. We're simply spending time with youth. And that's why it's important for us to be praying as a team so that we see every interaction as an opportunity to have eternal impact on someone's life. And the same applies to our everyday lives. The relationships we have with people. We think of our friends, our coworkers, our loved ones, our family. Are we filtering those relationships through an internal lens? Or are we just seeing them as a now as a vapor, right? Or what about difficult times, trials? Do we compare those to the glory that awaits us, as Paul says? Is God the first we run to? Do we make God our fortress and our refuge? In verse 6, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock and my refuge. What about times of success? Do we thank our own abilities and our own talents and our intelligence and our incredible wisdom? Or do we notice that all of those things were entrusted to us by God for his glory and for eternal purposes? Who gave us the ability to work, the minds to think, the hearts to take care of people and nurture, or the voice to speak? Every day the world tells us, right, to buy more, to own more, to build our own kingdom, and that's so tempting. But Jesus tells us to store treasures up in heaven. He calls us to a life of deep fulfillment, of incredible peace and incredible joy and love, and that's a message that we share with the youth all the time. To speak on the peace that we have, because it surpasses our understanding. Something that has to be experienced. But we try to tell them about the peace and the joy and the fulfillment that we can have in this life. Because our soul is satisfied. But comfort, or the stress of chasing comfort, is not part of the deal. Psalm 115 reminds us that the world trusts idols that cannot save. But God's people trust the living God, our help and our shield. Only he satisfies our soul. Jesus illustrates in Luke 16 the parable of the shrewd manager. And there are a few points in that parable, but one of them is that everything we own is temporary. Like the words of Solomon, right? Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity, and he had everything. But whatever is invested in God's kingdom has eternal value. So we can think, what do I own? What has God entrusted to me? How can my home, how can my time, how can my gifts, how can my resources, how can the relationships that I have in my life point people to Christ? That's kingdom perspective. One day every possession will belong to somebody else or be gone. But what is done for God and through him will last forever. In the life of David, the man after God's own heart, we see that mindset when he was defeating Goliath or winning battles, fleeing from Saul, reigning as king, or even repenting after great failure and sin. His confidence always returned to God. Perhaps our greatest need today isn't more information. I think Canada is on an information overload. And I can speak on doctrinal views and all of that, trust me. But I don't think that's what the world needs and Canada needs right now. I think it's a renewed perspective. It's a perspective that remembers God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is our hope. This world cannot satisfy us. God's kingdom is eternal. May we hold loosely to the things of this world and hold tightly to Christ. May we invest our lives not in temporary success, but eternal reward, eternal faithfulness. Because in the end, the question won't be, how comfortable were you? Or were you familiar with this particular doctrine? It'll be, were you faithful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we remember these words. May they be just deeply set in our hearts. Not just in our minds where we can bring it up once in a while, but deep in our hearts where we can, our soul can be anchored in you. That we would be remembered on a daily basis that you are our refuge, you are our rock. Our honor is only found in you and not from people. God, I thank you for this amazing church body, the encouragement they are to me, the encouragement they are to YFC in the ministry. God, I pray that that people were encouraged by what's going on, by what you have been doing at YFC. God, I thank you for this family. Pray for the rest of our day and the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.